When can balancing a budget cause you to lose your liberty? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And with me, as usual, is my Vice Chairman, cohort, and radio co-host, Chuck Michaels.
And great to be with you here today, Barry. We're going to be discussing a very interesting topic.
Yes, we are. You know, the teaser up front, I was very serious. There's a time that when balancing a budget can cause us all to lose our liberty. You see, I'm talking about a piece of legislation. Actually, it's a resolution that has been put forth by our Ohio State Senate. This resolution, Senate Joint Resolution 2, SJR 2, is a very small document. It's only two and a little bit of a tag on the third page pages. And it was introduced recently by Senator Bill Coley of the Butler County area in southwest Ohio, and has five co-sponsors, all Republican members of the Ohio Senate, which is controlled by Republicans, and all, by and large, considered very conservative members of that body. However, the document that they've issued for consideration by the Senate and then possibly by the House and possibly then put into action by our General Assembly is anything but conservative. As a matter of fact, it may be one of the most progressive pieces, unintentionally, that the legislature has seen in a number of years. What am I talking about? What does Senate Joint Resolution Number 2 do? Senate Joint Resolution Number 2 will apply to the United States Congress to call for a constitutional convention of the states to propose amendments to our Constitution. Well, that is, it's facially given reason for being.
Yeah, let's kind of lasso it in just for a second, and that is, the proponents of this thing will say that they're calling a convention specifically for amendments only.
Well, and if you look at the language now, and that's the reason why I want people to understand this. If you look at the language of what's being put out there, it looks like it's very, the parameters have been set clearly. It's very limited. There are checks on things that could happen. Limiting delegates, because honestly, what it is, okay, look, folks, I guess let's unpack this a little bit more. Let's go back to our United States Constitution, because that's where the genesis of this comes from. The genesis of this is in Article 5 of the United States Constitution, which is the article which sets up the process for amending the Constitution that was given to us by our founders in 1787. We're going to get into more deeply what specifically Article 5 says. But ultimately, one of the ways that a convention or amendments can be added to the document is by the states, two-thirds of the states, calling for a constitutional convention for the purpose of amending the document. So two-thirds of the states, for those of you who are in your car and can't grab a calculator real quick, we have 50 states. Two-thirds would be 34 states. So 34 of the 50 states would do the same thing that Ohio is planning on doing here, where they put a resolution before the body of the state legislature and say, we would like to direct Congress to call a constitutional convention for the purpose of amending. Now, Ohio's call specifically spells out the rationale for why they think they're doing this. And I'll just read it here straight from the horse's mouth. And I'm not calling Bill Coley a horse, okay? But it says, whereas with each passing year, this nation becomes more deeply in debt. We all agree with that. As its expenditures exceed available revenues. See, that's the whole, now we're getting into this budget thing. And whereas fiscal prudence requires that certain steps be taken to control the growth of the budget and eliminate excessive deficits. That's the rationale for why they're taking this action, okay? They're seeing the condition of our country. They're seeing our economy in meltdown. They're seeing our Congress and our executive branch spending money faster than it can be printed. And honestly, the more you print and the more you spend, the less it's worth. So they're seeing the devaluation of our dollar. They're seeing an economic fissure starting to take place, which could crack our economy apart. So I understand the desire of our state legislators for saying Congress can't keep its own house, so maybe it's time we rein them in, and by asking them to call a convention. And that convention, supposedly, according to the Ohio resolution, SJR 2, would require three things. These are the amendments Ohio's Republican senators who sponsored this resolution want to see. First, they want to see that there only be balanced budgets for all federal programs and agencies, so a balanced budget amendment. This is not the first time that calls have been made for a constitutional convention for balancing the budget. This has taken place in the 70s. This has taken place earlier. You hear about this coming back again and again and again. Oh, now, so that's the first. But Ohio's has three specific things they want. The first is balancing the budget. The second is what we call a line item veto. Currently, the United States president, when a bill is submitted to him for approval, has basically three actions he can take. He can either sign it and put it in, and then it goes into law. He can let it set for a number of days.
10 days.
10 days, and then it goes into law unless that 10-day window happens around the end of a legislative session, and that's called a pocket veto.
Right.
Or he can specifically veto the legislation, say, I do not approve of this, and I don't want this to become law, and then it goes back to the Congress, and then they have to get a 2/3 vote in each of the two chambers to override the presidential veto. These are some of the protections and the checks and balances that our founders put into Article 1 and Article 2 of our Constitution in order to make sure that you didn't have a Congress that could control the president through legislative fiat, and a president who couldn't necessarily just control the Congress by vetoing everything they sent to him without any possible hope of overturning it and overriding the will of an executive. So they want a balanced budget. They want a line item veto. They don't want the president, when a budget's sent to him or when a fiscal issue is sent to him. Right now, his only option is he has to veto the entire thing, regardless if there's constitutionally permissible budget items in it or not. They want a line item veto. They want the president to be able to say, okay, this budget item line here, okay, that's constitutional. I don't think they really care whether it's constitutional. They just hope that, this spending line item for the pork in my district gets okayed. This spending line item from the pork in the district of our political opponents gets vetoed.
And therein lies the rub, because basically everybody's in grabbing pork for their district so they can reelected. And they love these omnibus spending bills
that have
everything in a telephone book size bill.
That's the crack cocaine of congressional politics, is omnibus appropriations measures.
And that way, basically, with an omnibus spending bill, you don't have to worry about so-and-so in the district reading it and saying, hey, what's this all about? Basically, you say, oh, it was part of an omnibus spending bill. There wasn't anything I could say. If I'd been against it, we would have killed the whole budget, and then we would have had the government shut down.
And even if it is objectionable, they hide it in certain things called the Farm Bill or the Defense Appropriations Act.
How many times recently have gun control bills popped up in weird things?
In budget items.
Yeah, in budget items. And treaty issues popped up in budget items. A lot of times the farm bills and those kinds of things that nobody looks at.
Yeah, and the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the log rolling measures that our politicians do, is that they can pack an unrelated bill with issues that by themselves, on their own, facially would not stand the light of day and couldn't be supported by enough members of Congress in order to get it through to make it a law, but they'll pack it into another bill that's vital to certain things, like continuing our farmers being able to farm, or allowing our troops to be able to have the weaponry and the defensive measures that they need when they're actually fighting constitutionally entered wars.
Allowing farmers to sell raw milk, which a federal judge has just ruled we have no right to any actual food stuff.
Well, we'll go into that. We want to talk about that one in a later program. But going back to this, let's say that this bill says that the president can veto only lines in a budget instead of the whole budget. Now, that sounds really good. I like that idea. You like that idea. Why Congress hasn't allowed that by voting it in the first place, I don't know. But we're going to explain to you as we go through this week why calling for a constitutional convention to add this amendment isn't anywhere near a good idea.
not even close. The best idea. It's probably the worst idea.
It's probably one
idea.
Of the worst methods of doing this. Now, the Ohio resolution, Senate Joint Resolution 2, sponsored by Senator Coley, also has a third provision, a third amendment that they're asking for. And that is to require the president to submit to Congress and to submit and the Congress to adopt budgets on a biennial, that's every 2 year, rather than an annual basis. In other words, they don't want every year having to come back for reauthorizations. Now, Chuck, you and I have sat here and we've looked at this and we've come back and forth and saying, really? Is it all that important to say we budget for 2 year cycles instead of 1 year cycles?
Well, it is if you're a state lawmaker and you're hoping for that big federal check.
Well, see, that's a point.
Deals with your biennial budget, because here in Ohio, we do budget issues every two years.
Yeah, that's right. And many states do biennial budgets, but the federal government does it annually. So when the states are trying to balance their budget on federal monies that they're getting in through various programs, grants, and line items in those federal budgets, if every year it's up for grabs, that's instability for the states. Now, my point is, the greatest instability is the states relying on anything coming from the feds to balance their state budgets in the first place.
Exactly. The revenue should never leave Ohio in the first place, and when it does, a whole bunch of it gets lost in administrative and costs for all these employees in Washington who have to take the money in and account for it and decide where it goes. And you've got basically thousands and thousands of administrators you have to pay, when in fact the money could have stayed here in the first place.
Right. And we'll talk later on in the week, probably toward the end of the week, about another piece of legislation that was introduced last session that we're hoping gets reintroduced this session that would actually get to what Chuck is talking about and probably would just eliminate the need for this third portion amendment in this resolution. But here we are. It's been introduced. It's a resolution, joint resolution, so it means it'll go to the House for them to agree to it as well. Well, it may go to the House if it isn't stopped in the Senate. And I'm going to tell you why during the week. Historically, from our Constitution, from our history of constitutional conventions, why we need to stop this piece of legislation from ever getting adopted. But right now, what it's going to do, it's going to call, based on Article 5 of the United States Constitution, call Congress to bring forth a constitutional convention. Now, Congress, once those 34 states make a call, and there's nothing in Article 5, and we'll discuss this tomorrow, there's nothing in Article 5 that specifically says that those calls all have to be about the same thing. So it could be calls on various amendments. But once 34 states get those and they're filed with the clerk of the House and the Senate and the Congress, Congress has no option. It's a shall, a directive word in Article 5. Congress shall call a convention for the purpose of amendments.
Yeah, exactly. And once the clerk actually, one of the problems in the past has been of people trying to get a constitutional convention called was the clerk wasn't really compiling the list.
Yes,
that's been a good issue thing. But this time around, we don't know. Nobody ever knows if the clerk is compiling the list or not. So surprise, surprise, you may find yourself, if 34 states have passed one of these things in some kind of a constrained time period, voila, you may find yourself with a constitutional convention in your lap. And believe me, sort of like a 200-pound St. Bernard, you don't want him there. You may like the dog, but you don't want him in your lap.
That's right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us for tomorrow's episode of Principles and Policies, because we're going to start unpacking that even though our senators have put in what they think to be boundaries and limits, that these are actually not worth the paper they're written on or the ink that's used to write them based upon Article 5 in our history. So stay tuned with us tomorrow for more principles and policies and more about the dangers of an Article 5 constitutional convention.
Tune in tomorrow at 5:30 for Principles and Policies. We look forward to seeing you.